4, and I apologize to my family because they've heard this before, and I suppose that's the problem. And I had another message I was going to do, and I'm always on my kids about keep your Bible, find your Bible. You know, it's not the 8-year-old, it's the 16-year-old. Where's your Bible, you know? And so she finally finds her Bible. Well, here I am getting ready for church, and guess what? I can't find the Bible, or at least the Bible with the notes in. I do have a Bible, just so you know. Thank you very much. So, but I do have notes, and so I think we're good to go, but I did have another message there, but that's just how the Lord works sometimes, and it's always fun to be at, be listening and seeing what the Lord would have us do, so. If I was younger, I'd probably be really nervous because I'm pulling another message out. But, you know, at this age, I'm just kind of numb. You should be nervous, okay? I'm not nervous. You should be nervous. So, Bry's already nervous. He can tell when he chews his gum a little harder when he's nervous. It's kind of a labored thing there. So, all right. But you'll be okay. Just hang with me here. Mark chapter 4. This message was actually in the bulletin, and here's how this worked. As soon as I told Pastor what I was going to preach, then the Lord said, preach something else. I said, okay. And then tonight, as I'm meditating on that other message ready to go, and I can't find the notes, the Lord said, well, you told them in the bulletin what you'd be preaching on, so you're stuck. And I said, okay. So this is for me. This is for you. What is it? Do we know anything about candles in here? Who likes to burn candles this time of year in the evening? Who puts up a candle for either the sight or the smell of it? Anybody? Any candle burners? Okay, all right. Anybody just like burning things? Miss Brown, go ahead and raise your hand. Just like torches, blow torches, just anything. Okay, bonfires. Okay, so. No. Well, Mark chapter 4, verse 21 is a very, very simple thought, and it's carried throughout several of the Gospels, and it's a verse we quote, but maybe a verse we don't think about too often. We're just going to think a little deeper on it tonight. Mark chapter 4, verse 21, right in the middle of a parable on the sower, the Lord says this. It's just like the Lord, he just interjects this thought. He's talking about sowing seed and hard ground and stony ground and thorns and thistles and crops, and then he does this. Right at verse 21, he changes. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? That just seems like such a no-brainer of a question. Did you buy a candle to put it under a bushel or under the bed? Didn't you bring it to put it on a candlestick? And the answer would be, yes. Why are you asking, Lord? And that's what I want to ask tonight. And let's see if we can get some lessons from a candle. This is a candlelight service minus the candles, all right? So a candlelit service minus the candles. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, we rely on you tonight. We love you. And we're grateful for everything you do for us and through us. Lord, we are learning to be thankful for what you do to us. We're certainly glad that we have a book like this book. God, it's been a blessing to me today. Father, the help that I needed was there. The help that others needed was just right there. Lord, it's so great, so great. No matter what kind of problems people are having, God, that this is an all-encompassing book. It's an all-sufficient book. And it's just because it came from you. You're just an all-sufficient God. And altogether lovely, altogether good. And we come to you tonight, Lord, we want to get a better vision of you Lord, just to gird up the loins of our mind, to be ready for this week, to be the Christians you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look at this at a candle here. And I suppose you've seen in the Bible, as you've read through the Bible, there's verses that have come up that have caught your attention that have to do with either a light or a candle. You know, there's a parable of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins, and they all had lamps. And you know that the five wise ones had their lamps filled, so that when the bridegroom came, they didn't have to go buy oil. The other ones were foolish, and they didn't have oil when the bridegroom showed up, and they were late. Anybody know that story from Sunday school? All right, good. Well, you would know this verse too. I know we quote it a lot in Patch Club and at the Christian school. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so there's quite a few verses in the Bible on light. You would know that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that abideth in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I haven't lost you yet, have I? There's a lot of verses in the Bible about light. And can I just say, artificial light. Artificial light. In other words, right now, there's no sun, there's no moon, you're not reading a book, you're not going anywhere without some help from a light somewhere. And God knew that mankind would need to be able to find his way in the dark. And so he provided for us in many ways. And of course, up through the Industrial Revolution, we have Thomas Edison's electric light, you know, and we 999 failures, but one success, and phew, here we are, right? Light everywhere. So much light now that you can't go to sleep even if you wanted to. But the fact is that God knew that, and he used that in telling what he expected out of a Christian, because in darkness, you need light. In darkness, you need light. Just ask your pinky toe. Right? Has anybody ever had a conversation with their pinky toe? Number one, why are you there? All right, first off, why are you there? You're so deformed, you don't look anything like the others. Why do I even have a pinky toe? Second question I have for my pinky toe is, why do you always have to be the first one to run into everything? You know, why can't a tougher part of your body go out in front? No, it's the pinky toe, right? He's already the runt of the family. And boy, he screams. Every time he hits something, maybe that's me screaming. Anyway, somebody screams. But you need light. You need light. And God knew physically you need light. God knew how this world was. And if at the time of Christ, if you could call that an evening, can I just tell you the shadows are so long now. In fact, I don't think there are any shadows anymore because the lights have mostly gone out. And the Lord says this. He said, concerning a Christian, concerning a testimony, he said, did you have this testimony to put under a bushel or under a bed? Didn't I do something for you so that you could tell somebody else? I think we would agree that's a good application, and that's exactly what he's asking. Now, let's just talk about this candle for a little bit, and we'll relate it to us. Notice that the candle was brought and put. In other words, it wasn't like God said, hey, we need some light, let's go set a forest on fire, right? It wasn't a reckless idea. A candle, it was neat to be up at Schönbrunn Village, and they have some of those huts set up, and you could see how they have a little candle-making station, how they would do it. And it rotates around, and it dips into that wax, dips the wick down, and that's one layer, and then it rolls around and dips another layer as it cools, and before long, you have a candle. It's really neat to see. That's an on-purpose fire. You know, that the fires today are dangerous, but you can imagine just how out of control the sidewalks in Chicago were wooden. And when the Chicago fire swept through there, the people that walked through, they said it was just, if everything I imagined of hell, that's what it was, because the fire was under your feet, the fire was around you. They'd think they'd had it out, and you would see smoldering, and it would burn your feet, and it just nowhere you could go. You can imagine an uncontrolled fire. God said, this fire uncontrolled is dangerous, but wouldn't it be useful if it could be harnessed? Wouldn't it be useful if God could do something for somebody that recognized God did something on purpose for me? He brought me and he put me, and therefore I'm going to shine and I'm going to be a light. I'm not going to be a nuisance. I'm not going to be a terror. I'm going to be a help to somebody. That's, I believe, what God had in mind when he saved you. Major Ian Thomas was a preacher of just the last 100 years, and he was in the British military. He was an officer, Major Ian Thomas, and in a campaign he fought there. I believe it may have been even World War One. I think he lost a finger in World War One, and he has a great teaching on the body of Christ, and he uses that missing finger as an illustration. To show that every part of the body is needed, and you'd have to listen to him talk about it to understand it. But the idea is he said, if I'm not a part of the body, I'm not controlled by the body. In other words, the idea was, if God brought you and put you somewhere, it was on purpose, because that's him. You're part of him. He wouldn't set you in Cambridge, Ohio, in Byesville, Ohio. He wouldn't set you out there and just leave you hanging out there. It's not like he popped the finger off and said, here, do a work for me. You're part of him. He's as involved in it as you are. In fact, maybe he's more involved in it than some of us ought to be. But the fact is as far as our testimony goes, it's not something that's separated from Christ. He's the one that provided the fire. You see, whenever if you see a candle burning, you say that candle is giving out light. It's not the candle giving light. There's only one part of that that's giving light. The rest of it just sits there. And you realize what God's done in your life and my life. Much of our life is just the same as it ever was. There's one part that needs to shine. But when you see that, you say, that candle is putting off light. That candle is lit up. And you give credit for the light to the whole candle. That's an important thought. We'll talk about that at the end here. Now, this candle was brought, so its existence, its very beginning, was on purpose. This life, this place, is the time to shine for Christ. I think that's important because really we think a lot of grand things are going to happen. They either happen before we were born, or we hope they happen after we're dead. You know, God didn't save you so that you could influence the next generation. I've got books from old preachers in my library, and I like to read them. They're inspiring. But you know, when that preacher preached that message, he wasn't thinking that 150 years later somebody would pick it up and read it. You know what he was hoping? That somebody he preached it to would come to an altar and say, God, I give you my life and I'm going to be committed. And that's what he preached it for. The chance that it got recorded in a book is just an extra blessing. Nobody's going to write a book about most of us. Right? I mean, come on, you're not a legend and you're, I'm going to pop that. There it goes. All right. Nobody's writing a book about you. I write myself because nobody wants to write about me, so I have to write myself. See? Nobody's going to read that. What are the odds? What are the chances that I'm going to influence somebody after my death? Really slim. Why not do something for Christ while we're alive? Why do you think you are alive? That's a good question. Did you buy this candle to put it on a candlestick? I think you did. Now, the candle, though, it has some enemies, all right? It has some enemies, and they're right here in the verse. Mark chapter 4, he says this. Did you bring this candle to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Not two strange things. Two strange things that come into a verse. They're alliterated, though, so you appreciate that, right? What's a bushel? Well, that's a basket. That's what they would take. And, of course, back then, any bartering, any trading, you wanted to get a bushel of something, you brought your own bushel. Was it like Walmart where they just shook you out another bag? You know, you brought your own measurement, a method of doing business. You would either bring something to the market or bring something from the market. The bushel has to do with a place of business. It has to do with your daily work. It has to do with what you're going to do tomorrow. Men, it has largely to do with, sadly, what we say whenever somebody says, what do you do? You know, I challenge you guys. We've got to do better. We have got to do better. Whenever you meet somebody, how come it is the first thing we want to tell them is where we get our, you know, well, I work and I sweat so I can eat. Why is that anything to be proud of? That's what God cursed Adam with. Why can't we say when somebody, hey, what do? How about try this? Try this, all right? You have my permission to try this. How about this? I'm a Christian. Hi, my name's Lewis. I just believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what I do. You say, well, that is awkward. Well, so is everything else. So is meeting people, all right? Just get over the awkward. Why not try that one? You see, you are what you believe, right? Why does it never come out our mouth? What do you do? And of course, that's a way to kill a conversation. I'm a pastor. Oh, okay. You know, and that you get one of those looks, you know. Sometimes I tell them I'm a trash truck driver still, just because at least it's a conversation. But yeah, that's not what we should do. You know what's an enemy? It's an enemy of the candlestick is what you do for work. Your work. It's a devourer of light. You put a bushel over a candle, you know what happens? That candle heats up under there. You know what it's going to do. it's not going to go out. It's going to light that bushel on fire. Can I tell you something about your Christian testimony? You may get so wrapped up in work that you just don't have time for it. I mean, a gospel tract is such an inconvenience for some of us. I mean, you don't have a shirt with a pocket on it, you know. For crying out loud, put it in the dashboard of your car. Why is it such an inconvenience? Why? Well, I'm so busy. If you knew my boss, some of you are bosses. If you're a boss, you have a great opportunity to witness. You have a great opportunity. People respect you. Witness! I've had people tell me, well, I can't witness. I'm trying to work my way up in this job. And so they don't. Then they get promoted and they say, I can't witness. I'm in management now. I say, how useless are you? What did God save you for anyways? I'm a little fired up about this because, wouldn't it be great to have somebody try to witness to us, Brother Dustin? How come we got to find the closet Christians everywhere we go? It's like you have to kind of lure them out of the closet. Come on, this isn't the 80s and you don't have AIDS. Come out of the closet, all right? Tell somebody you're a Christian at work. You say, they'll fire me. Dare them to. You've done braver things in your life or stupider things in your life. And guess what? In God's economy, that's going to stand out for him and he's going to say, somebody let what I did for them cost them something. And that would put a smile on God's face. You say, here's the thing, is that valuable to you? It should be more than putting a smile on your boss's face, because you know what your boss wants? More hours and less complaining. That's what he wants. He just wants more hours, less complaining. And he's going to work you and work you and work you, and you work for his smile. Guess what? As soon as you don't give him what he wants, there's no smile again. Come on, people. How long have you got to live before you realize God is worth living for? Jesus is worth living for. He's worth working for. And the enemy of the candlestick, the enemy of your personal testimony, is a bushel. You're going to let a measure of wheat in Revelation, measure of wheat for a penny, you know, and hurt not the oil and the wine. What is that? We're going to be doing business while God is judging the world with blood and fire and smoke and two-thirds of the population dead, and people are still going to be going to Walmart buying stuff. What I'm saying is, don't give your life to that. It's going to go on whether you want it to or not, whether you vote for it or not, whether you campaign for it or not, whether you support the economy or not. Buy local, buy global. I don't care. The bushel gets in the way of you witnessing for Jesus Christ. And Charlie Kirk would say, prove me wrong. You can't prove me wrong. The fact is that the bushel as an enemy of the testimony of Jesus Christ is just, it's universal and it's mostly American. You know, I heard something the other day, it bothered me. Paris Reedhead was a missionary to South Africa, or to a country in South Africa, many years ago. And he made this statement. He said, since 1940, he said, he was preaching to Americans, and he said, you don't realize we're living in a time there have been more martyrs for the cause of Jesus Christ, Bible-believing Christians, Christians who love Jesus Christ, more since 1940 to present, listen now, from 1940 to present, more than was in the entire history of the church from Christ to 1940. He said, there's been more martyrs in the modern world. He said, the only difference is there's an isolated place in the world called the United States of America, and it has cost us nothing to be Christians, and it shows. Have you ever read The Martyr's Mirror, Fox's Book of Martyrs? You realize all those martyrs, you pile all those people on top of each other. There have been more people die for Christ in the modern world. It's just that they're dying in North Korea, they're dying in China, they're dying in Russia, they're dying in Turkey, and they're dying, and their blood is buying the souls of men, and it's purchasing the redemption for people. And what are we doing? We've got our candle covered with a bushel saying, oh man, I hope, you know, I've got to work a little extra. You know, I would hate for it to have somebody dock my pay. I can't clock out early because, you know, it's old. Now, I'm coming to you from the perspective, I know you just know me as a pastor, but listen, I started out changing tires, all right, and oil changes. I went from that to managing over 40 people and a $3.5 million business there involved in the city of Enid. That's what it is. You say, well, shouldn't you give seminars on being successful? Yeah, I am. Witness for Jesus Christ. You work hard. You're going to work hard. for yourself, for somebody else, do not let that impede your witness for Jesus Christ. Because I tell you what will be the worst thing is the last day at your job, I've got a banner down there. They made a big old banner when I last day my work there, and people all over knew me. You know what I was glad they knew me for? I was glad they knew me for being a Christian. Because wouldn't it be awkward to be the last day on the job and try to make a scene and tell everybody about Jesus? I thought about that. What a terrible last day. You know what I would think if I worked with me? I don't want anything you've got. If it didn't mean anything more to you than to tell me on your last day, get out of here. Your priorities are messed up. Don't let it be your last day before you tell somebody about Christ. That took a little longer than I expected it to. But we come to the second enemy. It's going to be just as good as the first one. Because he said, did you bring that candle to put it under the bed? The bed? Well, what is that? Well, if the bushel is the place of business and commercialism, this is the place of comfort and rest. The bed. Did you bring a candle to put it under the bed? I don't think so. Can we just be real for a second? We think of beds and we think of, you know, putting a mattress up. Can you imagine sliding a candle under that? You know, it would do the same thing to that as it would the bushel. By the way, your testimony for Jesus Christ will either ruin your business life, or it will be why you have a business life. Because you stick that candle under there to try and hide it, it's going to light something on fire. God will ruin it on purpose. He will ruin your comfort. And if you try to be a Christian and be comfortable, God has a way. It's just the nature of what he did for you. It wasn't made to go under the bed. Why are we so at ease in Zion? Why are we so tired? Why are we so tired? I mean, it's a rhetorical question. I know why we're tired. Number one, I have kids. All right, I'm tired. Constantly tired. I have kids, right? They do not sleep when normal people sleep, right? And then they sleep longer than normal people sleep. And I'm like, why can't you sleep when normal people sleep? They want to stay up late, and then I have to wake them up. And if I wake up, you know, you don't want to wake them up early. You wake them up early, holy smokes, the whole day, that's all you hear about. Woke me up early, right? All day long. So anyways, I've got some great kids, but do not wake them up early, all right? Miss Katie knows, all right? It's tough. So, what am I even talking about? Why are we tired? Why are we tired? We can, our light can be devoured, and it can be devoured so easily. And, you know, the devil already hates what we're doing. If he could just make us a little tired, that's all there is to it. We just look for a place of comfort. We get off of one vacation, planning the next vacation. You know, the weekend's just started, and we're already looking forward to the next one. Some of that stuff, guys, we've just got to break out. That's not how a Christian lives. That is not how a Christian lives. A Christian lives for the times where he can freely proclaim his Savior. That's what a Christian lives for. Looks for those opportunities. You've got to patch the roof. We're getting a new roof on this week. You've got to fix the roof. You don't want the roof to leak, right? You have to cut the grass, right? Somebody will call, you know, code enforcement. You have to cut the grass. And all that stuff has a time and it has a place, but isn't there just an hour or two through your week where you can say, I'm just going to be an unbridled Christian for a while because I can and nobody can stop me? Maybe you've never done that. Try it. You'll like it. You don't always have to sleep to be comfortable. We see people, we like to watch adrenaline junkies. We like to watch somebody do something crazy while we're sitting on the couch watching them do something crazy, right? But you realize what gets them out of bed every morning is the fact that I'm going to do something crazy today. Sometimes we wake up, and I'm just 40, right? But sometimes I wake up and I say, man, it's going to be a long day. I look at my bed and I say, it'll be too long before I see you again. I'm coming back. Don't go anywhere, right? You wake up and you're tired. Why not let your light so shine before men? Why not let your testimony be something that motivates you? Because that kind of weariness and tiredness, be not weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap if you faint not. God knows that there's a prize at the end, and the person that pushes hardest for it is going to appreciate it the most. There's these two great enemies. We gotta watch them. We've gotta watch for them. Now the devil, he blinds the minds of them that believe not. We quoted it this morning. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's already against it, and yet there's so many things right out of our life that get in the way of it. You wanna distract yourself from being a witness? Try to keep up with what's going on in politics. I'm reading Alex de Tocqueville on Democracy in America, and I tell you what, it's ruining me because he's honest, and sadly, not too many people talking about America are honest. You know what he said about Americans? He said they could really get a lot done. They could really get a lot done. He said they're a unique people. He said you won't find an American. He said everywhere I go, he said they're reading something. This is 1800s. Everywhere I go, they're reading something. They're always trying to learn. That's why we have gospel tracts. That's an American invention. Because somebody said, if I could just get it into their hands, and Americans, he said, they'd have one hand on a plow and one hand reading something. He said, you will ask somebody what they think, and they will start to address you like you're a congregation, or like they're a pastor and you're their church. He said, because they just know, they're aware of what's going on in the world. He said, no people like them. But here's what he said. He said, and their system of government is, it's good for Americans. He said, it's not much good for anybody else in the world, except for this. He said, for some reason, Americans go on a 3-year cycle, and every 3 years, they quit doing everything except arguing and talking about the next election, whether it's local, whether it's national. And he said, everything, every good thing that gets started comes to an abrupt end. They can never, he said, they'll never be any greater than the 3-year, 4-year cycle. Ouch. He was a Frenchman. I know that's why we don't like the French, right? But you know what? That's honest. That's truth. There's a lot of people that get a lot done for Christ. For some reason, we get a year. I think next year is going to be a circus in a lot of places because people's heads are not going to be screwed on straight. You know what the constant work of the candle is? Shine. Okay, vote one day a year. Do that. Get it over with. Go back to doing what you're supposed to do. Did I bring you God as the candle maker? God as the one who gives flame. Did I bring you here to put you under a bed or put you under a bushel? You understand? If I find a candle under a bed, I'm going to say, what are you doing there? You're a danger. You're a hazard. God says, where am I going to find you? And here you are with your head stuck in a newspaper, with your head stuck on the YouTube, with your eyes stuck into politics, caring too much what's going on, and somebody next to you is dying and going to hell. And God said, please, would you just shine where I put you? Is that so hard to ask? I don't think so. I'm not mad, most noble Felix, but I get a little worked up. I apologize. Maybe I shouldn't. But can we look at something? Can we look at the candlesticks at the end of this thing now? We've looked at its existence and its enemies. Let's look at its end. John chapter 5, if you want to go over there with me, I want to show you to somebody that God looked at and he said, this man is as good a light as ever there was. John chapter 5. The man's name was John the Baptist. John the Baptist. You come over to John chapter 5, and John is in prison, soon to be beheaded, I believe, at this time. John chapter 5, now if you found that, we're looking down to verse 35. And he's speaking of John, you see that in verse 33, you sent unto John, he bare witness to the truth. Verse 35, he was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. A light has three some purposes now. It's to, number one, it has to do with seeing. It's a light. But secondly, it has to do with a feeling. It's a burning light. Something unusual about light with no heat, right? I don't like LED bulbs. All they do is they take the heat from the bulb and they put it into a resistor. And that gets hot and it ruins your fixture. So if you didn't know that already, you're welcome. But you can't resist it. It's too late. You know, we've got, they're everywhere. They just moved the heat source is all they did. But the thing is, but you have light and heat. You know enough to see it and you know enough to respect it. There's a lot of kids that don't respect electricity. They've just grown up with electronics, and they think they understand electricity. And there's going to be a whole generation of dead kids because they think that they can handle electronics, therefore they know electricity. We don't. There's a lot of people that are growing up, they don't understand the first thing about it. It's a scary thing. It's a side note. But there's a third thing. You know what they would make those candles for? In the old days, they would bring those, and they would set them up, and they would form those candles a certain way, and they would light them, and that light was a timer. And they knew, and they would have marks on that in that wax, and as it burned down, they would know there's the 15-minute mark, the 30-minute mark, whatever the mark was, and it was to mark time. And before machinery, before the modern watch, and in the night times, that's how they would measure their evenings, watching the candle go down. And the Bible says about John, you were willing for a season. When God lit John up and he preached in the wilderness there, God said, burn, John, burn. Shine, let them all see it. But he knew John wouldn't last forever. That's not a sad thing. That's the mission of the candle. Can I tell you, church, something that you didn't know already, that you're not going to last forever? You did know that, right? You did know that. And can I tell you that if you can burn down under the bushel or under the bed, you're still going to burn down. It's just that nobody will see it. Your life may be what marks time for somebody that puts them in a place where they are urged, where they feel the urgency of trusting Christ as their Savior, because they've watched it in your life. You know, a lot of Marietta kids go out and they knock doors out there in Marietta, and it's good for them, it's good practice for them. You know, the different nationalities down there, they need to practice their English, it's good. But you know, people see a 17, 18-year-old kid out there and tell them about Jesus, and they get a lot of doors slammed in their face. You know what's cool? This is cool. This is the spiritual word, cool, right? You know what's cool? It's cool for Sister Joyce to come out and go door knocking. It's cool for my dad to come out and go door knocking with us. You know, there's something about that, because they might look at me and they might look at a teenager and think, ah, but they see somebody and they say, they're not deceived. They're not deluded. They know what they're doing. They've made a sacrifice to be out here. They're standing at my doorstep. You know, I believe people listen a little bit more. I believe people listen a little bit more when you start to lose your hair a little bit. Amen, Brother Mike? They listen. They listen a little bit more. Right? They listen a little bit more when it turns white at the side there. What is that? They're seeing the candle live its life. And they're saying, it's burned that long? For who? Jesus? Isn't he a fad? Isn't that what the college kids are doing? Isn't that what the Pentecostals are doing? No. No, no, I'm just a Bible believer. Let me tell you about Jesus. And all of a sudden, the candle draws a lot of respect because somebody sees just how long it's been burning. How long have you been burning? How long has it been burning? And then the second question, how long has it been burning out from under the bed in the bushel? You see, it may be a sense of respect to see that candle on the candlestick burn down. But when you just pull it out from under the bed, the first reaction is going to be, oh, look how much is gone, and I never saw it. Isn't that a sad thing? Isn't that a sad thing? You know, in your Bible, you read verses on different lights, and I quoted you a few at the beginning. But you know, there's a difference between a lamp and a candle. There's a difference between a lamp and a candle. Thy word, the Bible says, is a lamp unto my feet. You know what a lamp is? A lamp has a wick. It's like much like this right here. It has a wick, but it has a fuel. And that fuel that it draws up in can be refilled. And as long as the fuel is there, it relies on that to make its light. It draws its power from the outside. Thy word is a lamp. Why? Draws its power from outside of itself. It's not in the printer, it's not in the ink, it's not in the binding. This word is inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The power is from the outside. It's an amazing thing to think about, because you realize it'll never run out. It'll never get tired. It'll never get exhausted. It's new. God's mercies are new every morning. And you get into that, you realize just how much of the Holy Spirit is in there. It's an amazing thing when you tap into what is, according to the Bible, an eternal word. And again, not because of the printing, not because of the ink, not because of the paper, but because of the power from outside. But you know about a candle, don't you? We were talking just before church, and we've experimented with this. You know, you can use crayons as an emergency light source. And we've done that at the house. It beats eating them, all right? So if you're wondering, should I burn it or eat it? All right, just it's better to burn it than to eat it, all right? They're too chewy, and they don't... Just because it's blue doesn't mean it's blueberry, all right? Usually it just tastes like wax, so I'll let everyone know that in case you were wondering. But, yeah, the candle, it's a little wax, and it's got the paper on the outside, and it'll burn for 10 or 15 minutes. A birthday candle, which I used the last time I preached this, a birthday candle has about a 25 to 30 minute lifespan. You just burn it all the way to the bottom. You know what is left of a candle after it burns out? You know where the candle gets its fuel from? Gets its fuel from itself. As the candle burns, it itself is consumed in the process. The candle wasn't made to last forever. It wasn't even designed that way. It was designed to vanish with light. It was designed to vanish with light. And the longer the light shines, the less candle there needs to be. You understand, when God said, "Did I bring this candlestick? Did you bring a candlestick to set it up?" God didn't say, "Did I bring a lamp?" He said, your testimony is yours. You're like a candle, not a lamp. Can I tell you this, Christian? We've been talking about this, and I point you to the Bible as a source of inspiration, of outside power. I point you to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will give you strength from the inside. But can I just tell you this? What we lack today as believers in Jesus Christ is just a little bit of character, because the energy, the power to be the witness for Christ, God said it was from the candle. It will consume part of you. It was made to. The light was made to consume not only darkness, but the candle. God's love, God's light in your life is the only thing, it's the only reason worth living. And just, I've said this once, I'm just going to say it again. It's not something you don't know. You're not going to last forever anyways. You're burning maybe the candle at both ends for somebody. Can I just tell you, if that person's initials aren't the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not worth it. You're wasting your time. You'd be better off to quit that job. You'd be better off to throw that TV out the door. If that's going to keep you from your testimony from Jesus Christ, because it is not worth it. The candle was made to be consumed by the light. And sometimes we want some outside force, we want somebody else to kind of motivate us and get us going about Jesus Christ. Hey, Christian, God said, find it in yourself. It might cost you a little bit, but it was made to cost you something. When I came into this world, there was nobody prodding or helping me along, and I... who for the joy that was set before me endured the cross, despising the shame. Where did Christ find that resolve? From within himself. And he said, as I was in this world, so you'll be in this world. A candle. A candle. Oh, it's not a deep thought, but it is a challenging one. How much of ourselves have we given to the testimony of Jesus Christ? You hold back yourself, the light shrinks. The light shrinks. That wax is not properly, I can't think of the right word, properly cooked on there, properly heated and cooled and fashioned on there. Maybe the wick's not the right material, and that it chokes off. That candle might last a long time, but it doesn't burn well, and it's smoky, and it's just everything's wrong with it. Why? You got a stingy candle. All smoke and no light. Don't let that be your life. Don't let that be your life. God says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? I think we all would say, we know what we need to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer.